I thought about actually the word that I have for today, the message that I have for today, is something that's been kind of stirring through the whole time, the whole series that Matt's been talking about. I want to begin though by saying, how often have we heard over these last weeks and months, how often have we heard it said that we're living in unprecedented times? If you watch the news, if you hear the media, people at work, you hear them say that these are unprecedented times. But I want to ask you today, are they really? Are these really unprecedented times? Surely the things that are going on might be unprecedented in our lifetime. But have you read the Bible? Have you studied history? What really is happening today that's not happened before or isn't at least spoken of prophetically in the Bible? Have there been plagues and pandemics in the past? Is this the first time in the history of man that there's been social, racial, and political unrest, division, and upheaval? Is this the first time that believers are mocked and persecuted? Has it never before in the history of man been that evil is called good and good is called evil? In Ecclesiastes 1:1-10, it says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually, yet comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is and will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, 'See, this is new'? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. So as crazy and as usual as the things that we're going through, the things that are going on in the world may be, these really are not unprecedented times. The precedent for everything that's happening is clearly revealed throughout history and through His story.
Amen.
God's Word. There's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. In these times, I think what's important for us is, with all that's going on, with all the fear and the hype that's been tried to put upon us, we need to understand that to live in fear is actually a form of sin. That's not that we're not going to be afraid of anything or something. You know, some fears are good. If a lion walked in the back door, it would be good for us to be afraid. So we will have some fears. That's normal. It's natural. But if we allow fear to control our lives, if fear is the thing that controls everything that we do, it shows a lack of faith, a lack of believing. How serious is fear and unbelief? Revelations 21:8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the fornicators, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and the liars." But the first two are the fearful and the unbelieving. Their part shall be in a lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So, if fear is a sin, then we know that sin is derived from a temptation. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, He will provide a way out so that you can endure it. So, these are not unprecedented times. It doesn't take God by surprise. The temptation to fear it has always been with man, but God provides a way out. We may be tempted to fear and to worry and doubt, but God provides a way out. These are not unprecedented times, but we do have an unprecedented Savior.
Can I ask a question? What does precedented mean?
Never happened.
Man, I don't know what it means.
Never
but,
happened before, or
okay.
Unprecedented means it never happened before.
Okay.
Unprecedented.
All right, thank you. That clarifies that.
All right. In John 16:33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." So over the past weeks and you know, maybe even a little bit longer than that, we've been talking about not being conformed to the world, about renewing our minds and being transformed through God's Word. Matt has the theme or the focus of mind renovation, life transformation. And last week Matt stressed the fact that if we're going to be transformed by God's Word, then it's incumbent on each one of us individually to know what God's Word is. We need to know what the Bible says, not just what someone says it says.
Mm-hmm.
We need ourselves to know what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
By reading the Bible, by allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us, to renew our minds and to transform our lives, we need to receive more information from the Word than we do from the world.
Amen.
Along with what knowing God says, another part of our transformation, another part of being transformed by God's Word, is to apply and practice what it says. And you know, Matt often ends his messages with an action plan for the week. An opportunity for us to practice and to apply what the Word said. Applying the truth of God's Word to our lives. It doesn't do us any good to just know it. James 1:22 in the New Living Testament or translation says, "Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves." You know, we can read hundreds of books about the Bible, or we can read the Bible for hundreds of hours. We can listen to inspirational messages preached and spoken by great pastors and preachers. But if we don't do what it says, if we don't apply it to our lives, we're only fooling ourselves. In order to live a transformed life, we need to know what God says, and we need to do what He says. But there's another critical element of our transformation that goes along with practicing and applying the truth of God's Word. Last week, Matt talked about prayer. He said, first, and basically, that prayer is not the only thing that we do, but it's the first thing that we do. In Mark 11:22-24, Jesus says this. He says, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you've received them, and they'll be granted to you." So along with knowing and praying and doing, believing is critical to our transformation. You know, if we don't fully believe God's Word, then why would we pray? If we don't truly believe what God says, then why would we practice what we hear? And as I thought about this over the past weeks, I realized that the question that I really needed to ask myself is not, do I believe? Because, of course, the easy answer to that, and the answer that most of us would give probably is, of course I believe. It might be at times that we're like the father of the epileptic son. We might have to say, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." what we believe. But the question I want to ask myself today, the question I need to ask myself, is not do I believe, but what if I believe? How would my life be transformed if I truly believe? In John 14, 12 to 14, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that my Father may be glorified, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything, I will do it." That's what Jesus says. In Mark 16, 15 to 20, it says, after Jesus was resurrected, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover." And it says, "So then when the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and they preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed." What if I believe? What if I believe that I could do the works that Jesus did, because in truth, he's the one that's going to do it? Then would I see miracles? Would I see signs and wonders? I can't heal the sick. I can't raise the dead, but Jesus can. I can't multiply provision, but Jesus can. What if I believe? What if I believe that the results weren't my responsibility? Because Jesus is the one that does the works. What if I really believe that on the cross in John 19:30, Jesus said, "It is finished"? What if I believe that everything that I ask for in prayer has already been accomplished by the finished work of the cross? In Psalm 91, 1 through 13, the psalmist says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions and under his wings. You may seek refuge. His faithfulness is his shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side. Hundreds of thousands may die from a pandemic. Ten thousand at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you will trample down." What if I believed like the psalmist believed? How great would the transformation in my life be? Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." In Malachi 3:10, God says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing until it overflows. What if I believe that? In Matthew 6, 19 to 20, Jesus says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And then later on in verses 25 through 34, he continues and he says, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor for your body as to what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow or reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself. Not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek after these things. Your heavenly Father knows all that you need, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How different would my life be if I really believed? You know, and of course, even in believing, we still need to practice. We still need to do it. Again, it says, don't just listen to God's word. You have to do it. Knowing, believing, and doing all go hand in hand. It's all part of the transformation. In Luke 16:10, Jesus says, he who is faithful in very little thing, in a very little thing, is also faithful in much. So we need to practice believing and doing the little things so that we can believe and do the big things. What if I believe that God would heal a headache? Could I then believe that he'll heal cancer? Surely my life would be transformed if only I believed. As we get ready to close today, I want to look again at Romans 12, 1 and 2. Kind of the focus of what Matt's been sharing. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not conformed, transformed by the renewing of our mind. But why? So that you may prove what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. Yeah. So you see, our transformation is not only for our own benefit. It's not only so that we can live better. It's not only so that we can live an abundant life. But our transformation is that so that we may prove what the will of God is. As Matt said last week, when Jesus taught us to pray, he said, pray this way. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. First we pray, but then having been transformed, we're to believe that prayer and we're to do it. We're to prove to the world what God's will is for the world. We're to prove on earth how it is in heaven. We're not only to be transformed, but we're also supposed to be transformers. What if I believe? I want to look, as we close, at two portions of Scripture that we already looked at, and a couple more. But the first two, Mark 16:15-16. Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed, has been baptized, shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Revelation 21:8 again says, "But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake of fire, the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." In Matthew 25:30, Jesus says, he ends a parable saying, "Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What if I believed that there was a heaven and a hell? What if I believed that those who disbelieve will be condemned, not by God, but by their own choice? What if I believed that their part will be in the lake of fire? What if I believe that forever they'll be in the outer darkness, where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth? Would I just turn from the immorality that surrounds me if I believe in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone? Or would I preach the gospel to all the world? Would I speak the truth, even to my friends and my family, even to those who might be offended by it? What if I believe? 2 Peter 3:3-9 says, "Know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming?' For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and the earth are being reserved for fire, kept for a day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but he's patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." What if I believe that Jesus was coming again? And that God's will is that none would perish? What if I believe that his grace isn't that he has tolerated sin or that he overlooks sin, but that his grace is that he's given time for all to come to repentance? If I believe, my life will be transformed. And if I truly believe, I'll live as a transformer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, precious Holy Spirit, may we know your word, believe your word, and do your work. As we journey together through this life, may we be transformed, and may we be transformers. What if we truly believe? If we truly believe, how can we not do what you say? So help us, Lord God, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Jesus, in Acts 1:8, you said that we would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. It's not just power to do miracles, but it's power to testify and to witness of you. If we believe, may we live as transformers in our homes, in our workplaces, in our community, here in Salverton, in the region, and in the world. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that the responsibility for the results is not ours, because it's you that will do it. We pray in your name. Amen.